Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening, and welcome to the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse Talk Radio Show. And this is called Stop Child Abuse Now. And this is scan number 2694. Tonight we're going to have on Michelle Bless. I always love it when Michelle comes on. She's so knowledgeable, and she and I have quite a bit in common. We absolutely do. And what we're featuring here tonight is a survivor professional co-host whose field topics brought to the episode by you. That's you, the listener, okay? So we're going to have a heavy-duty topic tonight. And we have Mark on also. Mark is going to help me when people do start to call in. And the number here is 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118, okay? Michelle is from Cincinnati, okay? She's from Cincinnati, and she suffered from severe child abuse, just like I did, and like so many of us have. And today she's a minister and a chaplain, and she appears on the first Thursday of each month. And I'm always blessed to have Michelle blessed, okay? There you go. I'm blessed to be on the show with her because we do get along so well, and we're able to communicate a lot of things to people out there that may have similar pasts like we do, or maybe those that don't, okay? And I think that's what we're here for, is this is our mission to help those who need help. It's as simple as that. And she's also the author of Out of the Darkness, the Michelle Bless story, and that's her story of redemption. Yes. And that was a wonderful book, and she was introduced to the Lord and denounced Satan. And that was in 1997 when she did that. So anyway, whether the topic is like I said, it's going to be a heavy topic, but it's a very necessary one. And we had been talking about it, some weeks ago, and then it stopped. And not that we have to do it all the time, but it's the type of topic that affects so many people, and people don't talk about it because they're ashamed, and I'm talking about incest. Yes. So we're going to be talking about incest tonight. And Michelle and I, I'll speak for myself, and I know Michelle doesn't mind my saying this, but we both know about incest, okay? It happened to us. It's as simple as that. And as long as we, you know, keep it guarded, I have this information that I found, and what people do instead of turning it over to the police, okay, when a father or a brother, which was my case, you know, or an uncle, you know, who abuses us, instead of that, what they do, because they're so afraid of tainting, if you will, the family, right? They don't want people on the outside to know what's going on in our inside, okay? So this way, though, that person who's out there in the family is never, you know, taken to court many times. And they seem to want to take care of business inside of the family. Now, that can be done in several different ways. But it's up to people how they do it. Some people beat someone up. I saw that happen. Other people just plain don't mention it. Be quiet. Keep the kids quiet. All right, keep the kids quiet. And we'll just go on with our lives like nothing's happening or happened.
Wow.
Or I'll talk to so-and-so and then tell them to stop. Yeah, right. Okay. But people have different ways of handling it. And I do know that in Michelle's family, maybe, Michelle, you want to talk a little bit about that, and then I'll get into mine with the incest. Are you there?
Hello?
Did I lose her? Where'd she go?
I don't know. It's still on the dashboard.
Yeah. Okay, you don't hear her. I don't hear her. Okay. All right, what I'll do is I'll start because maybe, I don't know, maybe she got dropped or something. I don't understand. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because I have information here that can easily be used. First of all, 95% of all teen prostitutes were abused as a child, 95%. A number had been given out the other night, and that wasn't quite right, okay? It wasn't quite right. It's higher, so it's 95%, not 86%, it's 95%. And a lot of those
Amen.
Kids were, oh, there she is. Where'd you go?
I didn't go anywhere. I was right here.
Oh, you were? Oh, okay. All right. So anyway, a lot of those kids are finding out, Michelle, is that they were abused at home. See, people
yes.
don't realize it. They talk more about the abuse that happens outside of the family circle. And certainly
yeah.
those people should go to jail. And they should get caught and go to jail, absolutely. But what about the people inside the family unit? See, that's where a lot of abuse happens, okay? And people don't
yeah.
talk about it. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's a major problem. It says that at least one-third of female prisoners were abused. Well, that I very much believe. Sexually abused youth are twice as likely to be arrested for a violent crime.
Absolutely.
These kids are mad.
Mm-hmm.
They're mad.
Yeah.
And
they're
they
angry,
will have
yeah.
a list. You bet. And they will have a list of mental illnesses. Now, these are things that happen. All right. It happened in my family. And because it wasn't addressed, my brother
wow.
just kept going on and on. And, then he couldn't keep his hands off. By the way, he couldn't keep his hands off my friends either.
Wow.
And
mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. And the one girl, I called us the Fab Five. That's when we were going to New York and we were singing and all other stuff. But one of the girls, I think she kind of liked the attention. You know, she liked that attention, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so she sort of like paired up with him a little bit for a little while, which was very strange to us, the rest of us. And we were disgusted. And he was my brother. And, you know, that's just not nice. And if we don't tell, now I did tell. And I wanted help, you know. And nobody cared. Nobody cared. So it continued on. And one thing that this brings forth here, this article, and then I'll let you do some talking there, Michelle. Absolutely, right?
Absolutely.
What about, and I think you can identify with this, Michelle. In fact, all of those who have been abused inside the family unit can identify with this, all right? What about at Thanksgiving? Mm-hmm. We're all sitting around the dinner table, right? And the nut is there. I'm going to call him the nut. He's there. And
right.
Okay. And mm-hmm. and let me tell you something. They're finding out something, too, which I think is really kind of interesting. A lot of mothers have actually abused their daughters. Now, they didn't give a number on that, but they did say that this is a finding. I think they're still doing studies on that. So, you know, it can happen that the women, you know, can abuse the daughters, or they can abuse their sons too, their little sons. But the point is, it's incest right inside of the family unit. Go ahead. What do you have to, what do you want to say?
Wow. You still there?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I hope I'm not jumping in and out.
I don't know, because I was having a little problem there. I don't know what happened. Go ahead.
I'm okay. You know what? That in society, I find it to be such a touchy topic to some people, to some audience. But I'm glad that we chose this because, to me, I feel like it was always known, this topic, as a secret, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When things that people would be ashamed to talk about it, or another instance, when the victim share what happened to them in family, the first thing they hear is, this is something that happened in families all the time. I'm like, what? No. So let me say it this way. So our people back in that era, you know, I'm guessing the 40s, 50s, 60s, that's something that they're used to not talking about. I think it's very important to talk about it because it's awful, you know. Me personally, I was taken and abused from my grandfather and also my uncle. Those are two different relatives that did what they did to me and thought it was okay.
Yeah, that's nasty business. That's nasty.
And you yourself, Carol, you have an experience of a family member that touched you.
Yeah. My brother, right after the Staten Island experience when I was kidnapped and raped, I needed a big brother, okay? I mean, he was in the family. And he could have helped me so much by protecting me, okay, or talking to me or something. Because those of us who are being abused, we need to have an ally. We need to have someone, you know, that we can speak to. And instead of, you know, feeling, you know, sorry, you know, that I had gotten kidnapped and raped and all this other stuff in New York, he started to abuse me too.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, you know, I was so frightened, Michelle. I mean, first of all, I got this nut, you know, who kidnapped and raped me. And then I got another nut in the family who, you know, can't keep his hands off of me. And I did tell my mother. And she said, well, things like this happen in families. I'll talk to him. But it didn't do any good. It didn't do any good.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do any
good.
I don't know.
No.
Some of the perpetrators really believe in their mind they're not doing anything wrong, and that's sick to me. Because you know, I remember I went to the male's prison, and I had the warden set up a group of men that will come in and to participate, meaning, you know, respond, give their feedback. And I talked about what we're talking about right now. And I said to anyone, as far as kids, that you didn't know any better. And it wasn't our fault when we were kids. But when you become an adult, you make that decision to choose what you want to do. And when I talk to these men, that these are men made up of, they're for rape, and well, all different types of stuff, murderer, you know what it is. We know when you deal with men prisoners. But when I was talking to the men that who was there for rape and child abuse, they spoke in the way they were speaking as if that was a normal thing. And Carrie, you know, me and you spoke offline way earlier today, and it just baffles my mind that they would say they're so used to that, or it's a common thing. What is so common with giving a child a pain? What is so common to give a, you know, to abuse us? So
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. It's like they have no conscience. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they're sociopaths, you know. I sometimes wonder. Because like the serial rapist, for instance, in Staten Island, that's who had a hold of me. He was a serial rapist. And he thought nothing, you know, of what he was doing. And he went out and did his business when the sun would go down, I guess. I don't know. And felt nothing. The only thing he felt was sad that he had gotten caught. I have no sympathy for these people because they know what they're doing, okay? I just answered something on Facebook that was a heavy, and I understand it. And I know the feelings that this person has because I think all of us who are abused, whether it's inside the family or outside the family, of course we're going to have feelings, you know, of hatred.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God doesn't like ugly, like you say. And I was told once, long ago, that God doesn't make junk. We become junk. Okay? That's what we do.
Exactly.
We go out and do bad things. Yeah.
So,
I don't know. I think it's something that really, really has to be looked at because when it goes as far as 95% of all teen prostitutes were abused as children, and at least one-third of the female prisoners were abused. And then it speaks about incest, okay, 10 to 20% of children in the general population have to go through incest, 10 to 20%. That's a lot of kids.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's very high. That's very high, Carol.
Yeah. And then they say also, too, that they are twice as likely to commit suicide. The teenagers, well, I have a nice scar on my wrist. I think mine was a combination of things. It wasn't
I was just about to say that. Go ahead and say it so the audience can hear what you was about to say.
Well, I'm just saying that there's just so many things that happen to both of us, okay?
Yeah.
That, you know, like when I tried to commit suicide and got caught, I was beyond myself. I didn't care anymore, okay, about life because I hadn't lived it. Okay, I hadn't lived it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And there are some of us that, you know, have gone through that in our lives where we were so abused that we didn't. You know, it says here, incest is the single biggest commonality between alcohol and drug abuse / eating disorders as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And some people who have an issue with bulimia or, you know, I forget what they call that person there. They look at themselves and they see themselves fat. But literally they see themselves fat. But when the outside world, which is us, we look at you and you're skinny. Like I can blow and you'll fall over.
You anorexic,
know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anorexic, yes.
Mm-hmm. And still in all with the eating disorders, the... I actually worked with a counselor. She was a counselor. I was a counselor. And she was bulimic, okay? And she had been in a hospital, you know, trying to get help for her bulimia and all this other stuff. And it didn't help her, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, wow.
But she would,
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I was sorry to hear that, too. But anyway, she would shove so much food under her bed, you know, donuts, candies, which I can understand.
Exactly.
But you know what I'm saying.
Me
all
too,
these
I
things
got you.
Under her
I'm
bed.
Right there. Mm-hmm,
yeah, I'm a,
mm-hmm.
I'm a sugar junkie. I am a sugar junkie. I'm very bad. But, you know, so when you stop drinking a lot of times, you turn into a sugar junkie. But anyway, she was just constantly eating. She would just get this great big area that was hers and food in her bedroom. She had the door locked. And she would eat until she would throw up. Well, you can only do that so many times, okay? And you start doing damage to your body. You know, your intestinal tract, your stomach, whatever. You know, that's just the way it is. And now, I had gone with her. All right, she wanted me to drive her. What a riot. Me driving her, oh, my God. Watch out, people. I'm on the road. But anyway, I had to drive her to this doctor who was giving her truth serum because she thought that she had been sexually abused as a child and her mind was, like, blocking it out. Okay? And nothing came out. I mean, he allowed for me to stand there. And all she could do was see herself on a park bench with some guy, some older man, an older man. And somehow her mind wouldn't release the rest of the information. And so she was constantly frustrated. And so she just kept eating and eating and eating. Like Mama Cass, too. Remember Mama Cass from, what was the name of that group? I love that music.
I do.
You know who I'm talking about. The Mamas and the Papas. Mama Cass. There you go. She did the same thing. I mean, she ate so much, and then she was eating a ham sandwich, and a piece of the ham went down her throat, and she died. Well, you know, people who have bulimia, you know, or anorexia, either one of the two, many, many of them, not all of them, but many, many of them have been sexually abused. Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable. So this lady who wrote this article, she says, how can the United States continue to not acknowledge this problem when close to one-third of the population has experienced psychic/physical trauma during the years where they were developing neurologically, in other words, as a child when they were growing up, neurologically and emotionally? Incest is a national nightmare. And yet people are not outraged. Makes you mad, doesn't it?
Yes. That's beyond just being mad. It's like these perpetrators, they find a way to be silent. And so I'm a firm believer, no more silent. Not only am I speaking for that little girl inside of me that I protect, but I speak for all people who have suffered some sort of trauma, that be your voice, take your voice back. Give the enemy too much power. And I just refuse to do that today.
That's right. That's right. When people don't understand enough about the child within, I think that somehow we do talk about it, okay?
Of course.
But I don't think they quite understand that. You know, they don't. We have to find better wording somehow to get them to understand what that means, like spiritually. You would know more than I. You're a chaplain. You know, how that affects a person, the child within who's been so bruised and damaged, okay? I don't know about that.
Yes.
You know about that.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. This thing has been going on for years and years. I sit back and I analyze, and it's like, well, how was it then back in the early 60s or, you know, 70s. You know, and I look back and I say, well, is this common? And no, it's not common. That's sick to me. You know, that is sick. And especially putting, when it happens to you as a child, it's like taking our innocence away. And, you know, and the male, I remember a male inmate, one of them said, I don't get what you're saying. That, no, I take that back. He said, never really looked at that like that way. Because they were already broken and lost, and they did what they did, but never looked at the fact of the other person is human, too. You know, it's just
that's
it's
exactly
insane.
Right.
It's insane. It's a, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You just said something that's really, I think, beneficial because, it, like, the other person isn't really human, too, okay? See, they're so obsessed, you know this, I know this, you know, with satisfying, you know, their own desires, if you will, their sick desires, and somehow they want to keep it in the family.
Yes.
They want to keep it in the family. Yeah, I know it. That's disgusting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When I was in high school, this is a very weird thing, now, I don't know if these guys knew my brother. Now, remember, he was 5 years older than me, so when I was a freshman, he should have been out of school, but he didn't do his homework. So they kept him another 6 months. They didn't let him graduate with his class. But mm-hmm. these two boys were walking behind me, and they're yelling, incest, incest, incest is best. Now, this was in the 60s, like you just mentioned.
Oh, wow, yes. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I felt like crawling under something. I'm thinking to myself, do they know my brother? Are they talking about me? Are why would they do that? Incest is best. I mean, good God. Or are they the type of guys that go home and molest their little sisters? I mean, where's that coming from? You know, to me, it is such a nasty, nasty thing. I have another caller here. That's a 504-940 number. I want to see who that is. Hi, this is Carolyn Bean from the Stop Child Abuse Now Show. Who am I speaking to?
Yes. Hi, Carolyn. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes. Hi. This is John Anderson.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Hi, John.
I'm doing good. I'm actually going to be joining on to the panel very soon. I just wanted to tap in tonight and see how everybody was doing and say hi.
Well, I'm glad you're here. We absolutely love it when people
awesome.
Call in. Yes,
yeah,
thank you so much.
Yeah,
I did my show
last week, and I'm going to be, I'm going to be joining on the panel as much as possible from here on out. So I talked to Pamela and Tammy also. And so I'm going to help out with the men's support side and see what I can do, you know. So, yeah.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
That's
and I want y'all to know that we have done so much down here in Louisiana with everything. You know, we got the HB 492 bill passed finally.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
that opens the doors for so many people. Pamela's one of them. That's just a prime example, you know. So things have changed. I mean, just over the past 2 weeks, it's just unbelievable, you know. So I got to stay with these people, though, you know, because that's what I do. I run a men's support division with SCSA. So I have to maintain to make sure that these people get the right guidance right now, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the number one thing. Yeah, because, you know, so many are up in age, you know. So now it opens the doors for everybody. There's no limitation anymore. You know, so, you know, I just have to pursue every avenue one at a time. And that's how it is, you know, from here on out. Yeah. So how's everybody doing? Okay.
Oh, we're doing fine. We're doing fine. We're talking
right.
about incest because it's not spoken
yes.
enough about.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
okay.
And a lot of people do cringe. I have some information in front of me, you know, about incest. And, of course, Michelle and I
uh-huh.
both know too well. you know, about these things. And, you know, it's such a heinous crime against children.
Oh,
because
it is.
Well, like Michelle had said, she said that they're told not to tell. Of course, we're always told not to tell when we're abused. But they want to keep it on the inside, you know, instead of, you know, having that person arrested or whatever. They keep it on the inside, and but that's what the school system does. That's what the churches do. They're gonna take care of it their way.
Yep.
And
that is
right. Unfortunately,
so true,
yeah.
It's called.
No, I was just saying,
right?
That is so true. What you're saying, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's called self-policing. Yeah, that's what that is, and that's been one of the biggest problems of everything is the self-policing. You know, because the proper authorities weren't notified when they should have been, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's been going on for way too long. Sorry about the noise. But anyway, I mean, it's been going on for too long, for too many years, so.
It has been. It's probably been going on since the beginning of time. I mean, it's just like any type of sexual abuse has been going on since the beginning of time. But, you know, It's the one that people cringe at the most, because it could be a brother, it could be an uncle, it could be a grandfather, it could be a mother, it could be a father, you know. And, you know, the children, the last thing they want is for that to be in their own family. That's just not good, you know. We need for these people to nurture us. We need them to nurture us.
And two, there's such a huge, and I mean, I'm talking unbelievable amounts of disrespect in the families when that happens, because
it
creates so much turmoil down the road, and they never forget, you know, just like yourself, you know. You know how it is, and it's a lifetime thing, you know, so how do you deal with that within your family to just think of Thanksgiving, think of Christmas time, think of all these times when families are supposed to be getting together, and it is an issue, you know. It never goes away. So, I mean, it's going to be on the table forever, you know. So
exactly.
I hope that you can find a way to, you know, find some type of transparency out of it, you know. That's all I can say with that. It's such a deep subject when it gets down to that, you know.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is a very deep one. Yeah, you bet. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that you called in and have so much knowledge
so much,
and so forth. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, what I've seen, go ahead. Well, what I've seen, Carolyn, is that since I was abused, I was 9, okay, and I got to see the system from a child. In other words, the system failed me when I was young, because my abuser was George Brignac, who is the most prolific rapist in the history of Louisiana. Okay, I had witnesses, so it was acquitted, and they hid information in my trial against him that he wasn't supposed to be even a deacon. There was a priest that signed against him being a deacon. He wasn't moving to Miami, Florida. He's still alive. We actually went down just recently. Now, listen to this carefully. This is going to blow the roof off of certain schools that happened. They allowed him to stay into the archdiocese until 2018, okay? Now, do you realize he got 27 more victims after me, after I tried to put him in jail, me and my parents, right? 27 victims after me. How do you deal with that, you know? Well, we found out that they hid information on us in the trial at the time. We have proof.
Yes.
And the priest himself, we went to Miami and got him to verify that that was his signature, that he declined. And now that was the only person that could give George Brignac at the time for his deaconship, right?
Yes.
So we have so much information that they hit on us at the time that they're going to be paying for what they did. There's no question about it, and the lives that were shattered after that, you know, are expensive, I have to say. I mean, you know, I can't tell you what it means to me that whenever I have 27 victims after me that I could have helped prevented, you know, that shocks me. It crushes my heart. And you know, and I was only 9 at the time, you know, so I did everything I thought I should do at the time to come forward and tell the truth. But you know what, back then, guys, you didn't take on the archdiocese at all. You know, you didn't do that because not only were you looked down upon, the parents, you're talking about, you stay away from them. That's how it was, you know. So, you know, nobody understood, you know, the situation in depth. And I don't blame my friends for leaving me, and I don't blame the other parents for staying away because they didn't know any better at the time. They didn't know what it's about. Now it's a different story, you know. So we are working on a story at the moment, okay? It has to do with a lawyer. He is admitted and is now going to be registered as a pedophile. And he's actually turning in his bar license, and it's going to be on the news tomorrow, okay? So, y'all, that's another situation we're doing. So this is what I'm doing down here is I'm pursuing all this stuff to make sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what I'm talking about, to make sure that every name is put on. And if there's going to be criminal situations, now is the time for it, you know, criminal and civil, you know, because it opened up doors for everybody. In other words, even over the past 3 or 4 years, they can come forward on criminal charges right now, you know, right now. They have 3 years from that date, okay, which has been 3 weeks. They have 3 years from right now to file criminal, okay? How huge is that? That is major, you know, not to mention they can go civil from now on for any time they want, you know? And that wasn't supposed to be the situation. Y'all don't even know what happened with that bill was that the way the representative presented the bill, he actually was only asking for a age limit to 55 years old, okay? Well, we were worried it wasn't going to pass because everybody else wanted no limitations. It was just the way the bill was presented. You know, and I'm like, his name is Jason Hughes. He's very young, but he's been the first one. You know, we haven't had a bill change in Louisiana since 30 years on this, okay? 30 years. Mm-hmm. So he was just trying to get something and understand, you know, but I showed up. I showed up 3 days in a row, okay? Then I went back after a week and showed up again, and they knew I was there. I met people, and that was the biggest thing for me, okay? Just to know that I met, not only did I meet senators, I also met House, you know, the representatives too. And they were all on board with the same thing. So I'm like, man, I'm freaking out. I'm like, this bill might not pass because of the way it's presented. Well, guess what? They stepped up and surprised everybody. They threw out all the limitations forever now, so that's where it's at. They can't and look, that Monday morning, you know, the governor, it was you know, John Bell Edwards, he was on his desk and he signed it, so it's done, you know. So that's basically what I've been very active in lately, you know. And so I got a lot of work to do right now, guys, so much, you know. So that's why I want to get in with y'all and, you know, help out people with support too, because that's a huge thing with me. And also trying to help people to come forward too, you know, because there's going to be a lot of that. And you know, when one person comes forward, that most of the time there's another pedophile or somebody else, you know, with sex abuse charges that comes out too. So it works hand in hand, you know, and it's big. That's why we got to stay on top of it, you know. So anyway, I've been talking too much, you know, but I'll stop at the moment, you know.
No, you're doing good.
Well, and you're all excited. Excuse me, you should be.
I am. I got so many stories that I want to tell that we've been involved with that's going on, and, you know, it's only taking off right now. You know, I work with people all over the world, okay? And I work with a lot of people also in Louisiana that are up in age that are single, older men, most of them, and they were abused. So how do you deal with somebody that is 70, 72, 75, that has PTSD? He has anxiety. He's depressed, you know? There's so much of it out there that each person is so sensitive in their own way that you can't handle each case the same, you know? Just because you are book smart, okay, and you have all these degrees, it's fine. I love that, and I think people do need to see doctors, but you also need to be somebody that is empathy related, you know? In other words, you need to know yourself what it's like, you know? Without that feeling and knowing, that common ground is the key, okay? So that's what it's all about. You have to develop common ground, and then go from there, you know? It could be anything, you know? And with my life, I mean, look, my parents and I, we have raised show dogs. We had a pet care center. I was an athlete, a musician. I have kids. You know, I got so much that I can talk about with these people that I can find a bright side somewhere in them, you know? So once I do, once I find that light, that's what I work with them on and focus on good things with them, you know, to take their mind off of really why I'm calling. It could be what we would call a welfare call, you know. If they are feeling depressed and I see anything related to it, I'm on the phone immediately calling them, even if it's for 5 minutes, it doesn't matter, you know. It could just make their day, and they need that, you know. So
well, that's right. We know this, John.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. And then, of course, I want Michelle to speak. But, you know, listen here. Sometimes people just need a listening ear, you know. I'm the night owl, so I get a lot of phone calls, all right? In the AM.
I am, too.
And, Michelle also. So you see, we know what it's like to be, a listening ear, and sometimes the phone's falling out of my hand, and I want to go, you know. But
yeah, look,
I sit there,
Carolyn,
I listen. Yeah.
I am up sometimes until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you know. Even later sometimes, you know. But if you get into a conversation with somebody that they need to talk at the time, you know, that's what's special about, you know, running the support divisions, being there for them, you know. And then the profits come out of it whenever you talk to them the next time, and they are so thankful. They, you know, you're up in their conversation. They're communicating. Because here's the thing. You can tell somebody when they're down, they're isolated, okay? They don't want to talk so much. But when given that one time, if they just try to start talking and they don't stop, the key is to not say a word, okay? Don't stop their conversation at all, you know? So you let them continue on, even if they hesitate and they break down and whatever they're talking about. It could be their animals, their family. It does not matter. Don't let them stop talking, you know, because that's the key, you know. It's to it all, I think, is to let it out of your soul, you know, because a lot of us have that dark black soul, what I call soul murder, because we were abused. You know, and when you do that to someone, it absolutely, you know, wrecks their inner soul, you know, about the way we wanted to grow up or be like, or, you know, we didn't want to ever deal with something like that. But, you know, most of the time it's not our fault. But, you know, at the same time, we're not alone either, you know, and that's the one thing a lot of these people need to realize is that you're not alone. Okay, and that if you need to talk about it, now's the time, you know, and let them go, you know. So, yeah.
That's right.
And like we said, it could be 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, I'm retired now, so I can do it. Yes, I got to get up and I got to get my daughter to school and everything else, but you know what? If I need to take a nap, I'll do it. It was worth it for me to listen, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly.
And Michelle, what do you have to say about all that? Go ahead.
First I want to thank you for sharing that. That was amazing. I'm agreeing with him, and also I know that you agree with the same thing. The one thing that sticks out that really, really gets to me every time is the silence. It's the hush, don't tell, don't talk about it. No. You never get healed or come to peace within yourself if you hold all this stuff in. You know?
Yeah.
So be that voice for you. Protect that little girl, that little boy that's inside you. You know?
Yeah.
It's time to take a stand. It's something that don't have to be silent anymore. Do you know the worst sickness I see for our bodies is physical, the physical sickness literally will eat you alive like a cancer.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. That is well put.
I know of people that have died. I need to express this. I know of people that have died because they kept silent. But when you keep silent, that thing is eating your body.
Yes.
The physical part of you.
Yeah. It sure is. And these are the people that I'm after, you know, because I want to help them so bad. And these are the ones that I need to get in touch with one at a time and help them, you know, because you know what? You're so right. Suicide also comes into play, and physical issues and mental issues and relationships. And it just don't end. It don't end because of that. You know, it's trauma. It's trauma. And it causes brain damage, physical-wise, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really does. What happens is that people develop physical issues. In other words, they might have fibromyalgia. They might have back problems like I do, all kind of stuff. Well, the issue is that because you were traumatized by such a horrific situation, is that you live with this PTSD, basically, is what it is. So when your brain has been traumatized, it's basically brain damage is what it is, you know. And it wasn't caused by an accident. It was caused by a situation that happened in your life. So now that you have this, and if you are credible, so to speak, and it happened to you really in life, you're going to run across that at a certain time. The average age of someone to come out is 52 years old, nationwide now. This is why the statues are getting changed every state. Now, Louisiana doing it, dude, I can't even tell y'all enough how expensive it is because we are primarily a Catholic state, you know. All these guys that are representatives and senators and all these people grew up here in the Catholic churches and got benefits from them. And the politics come into play. But guess what they did? They actually turned around and went for no statues. So Louisiana is actually surprised me to the extent of doing this for that same situation we're talking about, you know?
Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, think about it, you know? I mean, when I say the average age, I'm not just talking about New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm talking about worldwide. It's 52 years old. Well, think about
it. Wow.
How many people want to get their families involved while they're in their 40s and, you know, while the kids are in school and they don't want to create any trauma in the household, in the community, you know, and you can't blame them because it does cause embarrassment. It causes turmoil, you know, it's stress and it all plays a toll on a person. And then when they develop physical issues because of the brain damage, it does not allow you to heal. It's a known fact. I've been reading so much up on it. There's doctors behind it and everything. And Houston actually is the ones that are behind it. The University of Houston has the most information on that specific subject, you know. But it's just a known fact, you know. So,
well,
yeah.
Well, let me say something
yeah.
there. You know, you speak about, all right, you've spoken about the brain. And yes, it's everything that's traumatizing affects the brain, you know, and we know this. We speak about it at times. And like with
mm-hmm.
the AIDS study, we've spoken about that quite a few times, too. And
right.
I'm a 9 on the ACE study because no one went to jail in my family.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
So
uh-huh.
They should have,
yeah.
but they didn't. Okay?
Well, let me ask you this. Are they still alive?
I think
or
that
is it...
the last one that abused me, I don't think he's alive. I don't care whether he's dead or alive.
Mm-hmm.
That was my brother. And
okay.
I spoke to him.
Okay.
I was telling Michelle, 2008. That's the last time I spoke to him. And
really?
I don't know whether
oh.
he's alive or not. I really don't know.
Okay.
But, you know,
okay.
One thing, too, the people, and I'm going to tell you about something that I saw online. Now, it was online.
Oh.
There were two doctors, and they had nothing to gain from this. They were not selling any products,
what
nothing, okay?
Well,
and,
you know, Foxall, who had to go tell Bednar he was coming out. Bednar,
what's that?
What is that background noise?
Sorry, I'm turning it down right now. It's my fault.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Now, there
are
these two
yeah.
doctors. I found this very interesting because I was diagnosed with a fibromyalgia. I do have a chronic pain problem. You do, too. Okay.
Yes,
you wake
I do.
Up every day,
yeah.
you're in pain. All right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I learned to live with it. I don't like it. It can wear the
no,
heck out of you at times. You know,
oh,
no.
Oh, man, Will.
And,
I can't
you know,
stand it.
So let me tell you. So
mm-hmm.
now these two doctors, they had nothing to gain from this. One of the doctors had fibromyalgia, and he wouldn't go into detail. He doesn't have to. But he said that he
yeah.
came from a very dysfunctional home, and there was a lot
mm-hmm.
of abuse. He left it at that. The other
yeah.
guy, the other doctor, was he worked with him, and they knew each other well. And he didn't have fibromyalgia, and he came from, as we call it, a normie home, okay?
mm-hmm.
Where there was no abuse,
mm-hmm.
I guess. So he made it very clear, this one doctor, that when people come from terrible backgrounds like we have, okay,
mm-hmm.
that the chances of developing fibromyalgia is very, very high, okay?
Absolutely.
Yes. And one thing, too, Michelle, you know, too, that you don't have it just like in your leg, I'm going to say, I'm just using that, or your back. Or you can
mm-hmm.
have it most all over parts of your body all at once. You can.
Yes, you can.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Let me tell you
y'all
something,
don't know.
I feel like taking something for it. I won't do it,
well,
Michelle. No, I won't. But
hold on a second.
I do feel
I want to tell y'all. My doctor
yeah.
put me on a brand new medication yesterday, and I'm waiting
mm-hmm.
for it to come in. Let me tell you, I took Percocets for like over 8 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't taken it in 2 years now, I have a spinal stimulator in my body. You know that? Yep.
No.
It's inside of me. Yes, I have a spinal stimulator. I have a remote control. I'm getting ready to have a major surgery on July 26th. What they're going to do
mm-hmm.
is they're going to take it the whole thing out of me, and they're going to put a brand new system, an upgrade system where I can have an MRI now because I have permanent nerve damage all over my body. My legs go numb all the time. Fibromyalgia kicks in. I'm just – if it's bad enough, I can't do anything. You know, it just wrecks me. I mean, I can't stand that feeling. I got throbbing in my neck and my back of my head, my shoulders on fire, you know, so I have to live with this a lot, you know, but I've learned how to manage my pain over a long period of time. You know, my first surgery was back in 1997, okay? Since then, I've had seven surgeries. So I had this spinal stimulator put in me when I was 47 years old, okay? That's not normal. You know, I mean, that's usually for people that are paralyzed, for people that have, you know, I mean, destroyed discs, you know. So I have degenerative disc disease. I have stenosis. I have arthritis in my spine. I get fibromyalgia. I have PTSD. So, yes, I go to doctors regularly. But I'm on the right road now, and it's wonderful. It really is.
I never heard of that before. No, I didn't.
I never heard of that either.
Is Mark still here? Michelle? Mark,
I'm still here.
Do you want to make a comment or something?
Well, first I want to apologize. When I was on the screen here with the blog talk, and I'm watching the screen to catch callers, and then I hear John's voice, and I don't see it on here. And I look down, and I lost internet connection. So I'm back. Wanted to say, John, I'm Pam's husband. I don't know if we met formally.
No,
yeah,
we haven't.
And, I just wanted to say, you know, thank you, and we're grateful for all the work you did for all that stuff for down here in Louisiana. And Pam's excited about it, and
I know how
it goes.
That makes me so happy, man. That what's going on with her. I'm so happy for her. You know, I really am. And I didn't realize that you were part of this like you are. I'm glad for that, man. Y'all stick together, man. She's going to need you every step of the way, man. You know that?
Well, yeah,
such an important time for her.
Right. Well, that's what I am. Like Carol said earlier, you know, I'm a normie. I haven't been abused. But since I've been married to Pam 38 years, I supported her from the very beginning. And I didn't know much about it early on in our marriage until it started hitting her and her repressed memories. But I've been behind her and with her and stepping through her, and now she's on with NASCA here. I support these guys here because, you know, it's serious. It's a serious problem, and it's just beyond me how anyone could do that to a child. I still can't fathom that, but it's there. And, you know, and NASCA and everybody here is trying to fight against it. You are in this state. And, you know, I just want to say hats off to you. We're very grateful. And I'm sure a lot of other child abuse survivors and that are very grateful, too. And once they finally find out about everything, I mean, the whole state will be kicking butt. But, I just wanted to say thank you. And,
I'm
glad that.
I appreciate that, man.
I have one other request, though. If you know any other men, like you said, you know, you have them get in touch with Pamela and that, and she can set them up with a show to come on and tell their story like you did. You were on in the middle of last month. You know, you can get other men to come on because we're looking for a lot more men. You know, now, I think from my statistics that I've kept, it's about almost 27-28% this past 6 months have been men.
Uh-huh.
We'd like to see that get higher, you know, and have more men come on.
Yeah. Well, that's
a good
here.
Point.
Okay.
That's exactly
why I'm here.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Go ahead,
because, you see, Michelle's been on this show for, I don't know, how many years now? And
since 2012.
And I've been on.
Really?
That's awesome. I've been here 11 years, and you know,
awesome.
It's there were so
I wish
few
I
men
known
that
y'all.
Would come on.
Yeah,
yeah,
I wish
really.
I would have known y'all back then, but things are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
I can promise. That's what I do, okay? That's specifically what I do. So I will be bringing in a lot.
That's good.
So, you know, now you have to realize that these people are sensitive, so I have to kind of pick and choose as it goes along, depending on where they are in their life, if they're ready for that. There are some out there that have been through this already and they're ready to do it again, which they should. They should never stop doing it because actually every time I felt so good after, you know, I told my story with you all that it's just another part of releasing that dark energy that's in you, you know, to help, you know, spread the light that we are a team now and that we got so much work to do, but we've accomplished so much in a short time. We can't let it go now, you know? So that's my main thing.
Absolutely.
And telling stories is about education. It's about learning what happened to each individual because each situation is different. So how do you fathom that? You know, you have to get educated by learning about everybody's situation and handling different. You know, knowing about medications, knowing about talking to doctors, knowing about talking with people that are fellow of, you know, sexual abuse victims, and knowing about, you know, what stage in their life they are. Are they still pursuing criminal? Are they involved with lawyers? Do they need a lawyer? You know, there's so much, so much involved that this is what I do. I actually guide them in these areas where I think that they need to be, because I lived through it already, and I don't want to have them, you know, go off in the wrong direction too early. In other words, I don't want to put too much pressure on them, because they can get, you know, sick from PTSD. They can have relapses. They can be, they can wake up, you know, hurting, having headaches, body aches, everything you we've talked about tonight. So each person is so, so fragile, okay, in their souls and in their feelings, that you have to be careful, you know, how you handle it. But I'll know if they're ready or not. You know, there's no question about it. I'll know. If they're ready to do it, then it's a go, you know. So, yeah, I mean,
you know,
that's what I do, you know. So I will
I think
that.
That's
go
a
ahead, Michelle.
Sure.
I think that's a wonderful thing that you do. And I mean, and I think we need to continue to pass the word, just to tell people to just, you know, let me tell you something. There are survivors, and then there are victims. And you know there's more victims out here than survivors, okay?
Right.
And I always invite people to come and listen in. Just listen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't force people to communicate, because they got to do it in their own time. But I strongly suggest, and I tell them, if you want to get in your healing journey, first thing you got to do is to allow yourself to talk about it. And what I mean is, you ain't got to, like, when I say talk about it, you ain't got to come on no show for the first time and talk about it. I mean, just talk about it in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Speak it out loud. Hear yourself. Hear yourself first. That's where it begins. You have to become the voice for yourself, meaning for that little girl or that little boy that was inside you.
Yeah.
That where this happened. Because people don't understand. And then you got another set of people who were, it never happened to any of my kids. It never happened to me, so I don't want to talk about it. Excuse me? Okay, well, first of all, I thank God it didn't happen to you, and I thank God it didn't happen to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
But why not hear about it so you can be an advocate, so you can have compassion and help people that are still victims, that are still being victimized, or, you know, for the survivors, you have to open your mouth to talk about it. And two, there's a lot of people, they feel like, well, I don't want to tell anybody that I want to go to counseling. There is nothing wrong with counseling. Sometimes you need to talk to somebody. You need to speak out loud. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there, and then, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. Some people have to take medication. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. Just check out the doctors that you go see and just, you know, you know, because me, I don't trust just everybody and anybody, but those people are set up to help, and it does work.
Sure does. Yep. But at the same
time,
they have to have a relationship with their doctors, that they trust their doctors too. You know, some of these doctors that I've seen over the years, you know, they want to, you know, just push medication. They don't really know exactly what you're about until you spend a lot of time with them, you know. So that's the feeling that you have to have whenever you do get help, is that you have to feel comfortable with this person, you know.
That's most important. That's very important.
The first doctor you go to might not be the one for you, you know.
That's
right.
My doctor that I first went to was a woman, and she was okay, but she was just so, like, okay, we're going to put you on this. But, well, you know, I just didn't get this feeling from her, like she wanted to listen to me and actually be empathetic with me, I guess. You know, it was more of a sympathy thing, you know. And I'm like, you know, I just don't feel good, you know. So after I met Dr. Sabral, was her name, which I was with since 2000 and, let's see, was it 9? 2010, yeah. And she and I developed a relationship, okay? And she knew what I was going through, and she understood what I was going through. That meant so much to me that she understood, you know. That was the main thing. And yes, she you know, gave my medication, and I listened to her. And, you know, that's all it took for me. So it put me on the right road to understand myself, you know, because I needed to not be so, I don't know, full of anxiety and depression and negative and, you know, and hating and being pissed off all the time and, you know, finding some positive reinforcements in my life. And, you know, and I decided to just make, you know, some serious changes in my life to benefit children. You know, I said, you know what, I don't ever in my life want to see another child hurt again the way I was hurt and the way a lot of us were hurt. And I can't fathom, mm-hmm. you know, what happened. How do these people, you know, even think about hurting an innocent child? You know, like in my case, my first sexual experience I ever had was with a pedophile, you know. And I mean,
mm-hmm.
what is that? You know, I mean, how do you live your life knowing that all the time? You know, and it will always affect me, and the way it happened to me will always, you know, but I'm using it to help other people now, and I'm going to continue to do that. I will not stop now. I don't want to see another kid hurt, period, you know.
Continue to see it, continue seeing your therapist. Let me tell you something. I've been having a therapist, and I'm a counselor. Minister, chaplain, uh-huh. all those nine yard things. But I uh-huh. I have a therapist. I've been with my therapist since the year 2000.
Uh-huh.
So that's a 20-year relationship. But prior to her, when I was seeking to therapist, I didn't like the first two people that I was introduced to. I shut down mm-hmm. like, was there something? It was just something about them. Then the third one, which is Nicola. I've been with her now since 2000, and so a lot of people be shocked. Like, I didn't know you had a therapist, Michelle. Well, yeah,
uh-huh.
yeah, because I refuse to let this thing eat me up, and it was only because of God that had kept me. And I'm not going to make this a religion. You know, I'm not into religion or nothing, but I just have to be honest. I mean, like I said, and I iterate on this: the longer you keep this in, it will eat you. It will eat you physically.
Yes.
Physically
yeah.
eat you. It will eat your
yep.
body. So it was only the grace and favor and mercy of God that he had kept me all that time. But once I started talking, about it
good
in the
you.
Year 2000,
mm-hmm.
I was so amazed of how daily those layers were coming down.
Yes.
I be at home and I talk about it out loud. I write it, and the different stages I went through. I tore up pillows, you know. I screamed, but guess what? Because
uh-huh.
I never screamed before. I never screamed.
Right.
I never talked. I never shout as a little girl when the people that were doing the things to me. But I was able to do that today, and it's okay. That's a healing process.
So the delay has started peeling off, didn't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and there's so many layers there, but you're right. They start peeling off, and the more you talk about it, the better off you're going to be, you know. You got to cleanse your soul. You got to get it out of there, you know, and it's layers and layers and layers. It takes years, just like Michelle said. I mean, 20 years he found the right person after two or three. That's exactly what I'm getting at.
I did.
You know.
And I still have a therapist. She is still my therapist today.
Awesome.
I took my power back.
Yeah.
I share this because I want people to know you can take your power back.
Mm-hmm.
You can take your power back from. You can take your power back.
I bet she has seen such a dramatic change in you, hasn't she?
Absolutely.
Can you imagine what she's seen in you? Can you look at it from her eyes and you know where you were back then versus where you are now? Think about that. You know?
Absolutely. She talked about that over. She talked about that a lot. I mean, she gets teary eyed. She chokes up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know
she tell her other colleagues about me. I had came, which she had did a seminar where she invited her patients and the other colleagues by their patients, and we did a 1-day retreat. And she brought and requested and asked me would I come and speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I did.
Awesome.
And everybody thought, oh, they invited another therapist. And then my therapist said, well, she is a therapist, but I'm her therapist.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she's here.
That's right.
Because a lot of people, they feel like, well, if you tell somebody to be seen, they're going to think you're crazy. Let me tell you something. Personally, I felt, this is when I was younger, I used to look at TV and see people seeing psychiatrists and therapists. I'd be like, dad, they must be crazy. What are they going to a doctor for? Let me tell you something. Going to see a shrink, a doctor, a therapist, whatever you want to call it, when you find one that you're comfortable with, and you would know when you're comfortable, that would be the best thing that you ever done in your life for yourself.
That's right. Yeah. You just nailed it right on the head. You sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Your healing process will begin.
Yep.
You know,
that's
write
my
it
thing.
Down.
That's my
or pick something.
Yeah.
Pick something that you can. Let me say this real quick. Pick something that gives you comfort and peace. What I mean is, if you a painter, I know some people they paint stuff. They like to paint. I know a lot of people. I know another young lady. She likes to crochet and yarn and make blankets and stuff. Whatever you want to do that gives you peace, do it.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. Go ahead.
And that's right. Let me say something here. You know, it's very important, you know, that we do find an outlet. Now, when I was a kid in high school, my outlet was running, okay? I was a runner. And
awesome.
I jumped the hurdles just like the guys. I was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And the 50-yard dash was mine. No one could catch me. And I would feel so good.
Go ahead, Carol.
Well, let me tell you why. My mother, she came close to catching me a couple times. She was pretty darn good, too, because she'd switch me. Okay? No, she wanted to switch me. Yeah, I had to go and pick my own switch with her. But anyway, the point is...
Lord.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that was terrible. But anyway, at nighttime...
No, I remember those days.
At nighttime, I would go outside, you know, whether, you know, if the weather was okay. I would go outside and I would run because we always owned a lot of property. And I could run and run and run and run, turn around and run back and run back. But I would run until I dropped.
Right,
because
me too.
I was so filled with stress, so filled with anger, so filled with hate, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So filled with all kinds of negative things that I had to do something, you know, to get rid of that. Because if you
thing.
Michelle said, it does eat you apart. It does. It absolutely does.
Yeah.
And people
are
more suicidal. They're more suicidal, you know, when they do that. And I did try to commit suicide when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't take it anymore. The running didn't do me any good anymore. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if you can find painting, I love to sing. I love to, I don't dance very well, but I love to sing. And I was in bands and stuff. So I sing around the house, and I sing whenever asked. And that brings joy, because to me, singing is joyful. If you sing the right songs, singing is joyful. Yeah. Yes.
Well,
and it just makes you feel so good.
If y'all ever seen my Facebook, you know, I do is play music for people. You know, I have 30 guitars. I'm a guitar collector. And I just do it, you know, like you're talking about. And it's the most wonderful thing, you know. So, and not only that, I was a runner too. Sometimes I ran so far, I had to call my mom to come pick me up because I was cramping in the summer. It was so hot, I started cramping, I couldn't get back home.
that is funny.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing.
Oh,
it's
God.
True. Very, very true. I'd wind up down toward the French Quarter somewhere. Because I ran the levee the whole way, and then I couldn't make it back. I'm like, oh, I'm busy. They call me Jay. I'm John, but I'm the fourth. So my nickname was Jay. She's like, Jay, you mean to tell me I got to leave because my mom had dogs, right? I mean, we all did dogs. Grooming, you can imagine how busy they are, right? Oh, Mom, I can't get back. Well, it's going to be 5 o'clock. So I just start walking back, and then, you know, and whenever I get to a certain point, I let her know. But, running was my thing too, Carol. You know, and I can understand where you're coming from with that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure
we're
not the first.
It gives you a feeling of power, somehow a power. I also like motorcycles. You don't like them. I like fast things. See, that's my problem. You know, so to run
you don't
want
to ride in my car then. You know, if you like fast things, and my car does 160 miles an hour. So
okay, I can do this. Yeah. I got up to 120 once. Yes, I did. That was terrible of me. Shame on me.
Yeah.
I was out in Pennsylvania and there was this kid, and we were actually, my husband had fallen asleep. So I was driving, and this kid, he's on my tail end. So I figured, well, I'll fix him. Well, before we knew it, we were racing, and that's terrible. I'm so bad. But anyway, I got up to almost 120 miles per hour, and the car was starting to shimmy. Uh-oh. So, yeah, it was a muscle car. That's what we called it. It was a muscle car. And somehow singing is, to me, and running, I don't run anymore because of the fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. I can run. Mm-hmm. If someone chases me, yes, honey, I can still run, okay? But on the other hand, I don't make a habit of going out and running like I used to, because we do, Michelle and I do have that. You know, we have the fibromyalgia, and you've got your nerve endings.
Yeah, me too.
Does come from with that doctor. And there was nothing, no product being sold. He was just simply, it's like a little video. And, it does exist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just something that's in your head. Your body does respond in a negative way.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Let me say something. Now, today, what people ask me, what do you do today to deal with the Michelle? Well, first of all, I work out 5 days a week.
Do you?
And I hold 3 black belts. So I get with my sensei to keep up with my styles and keep up with my styles and stuff. That's that's what helps.
Yeah.
That's what does
it,
period.
That's focus, man. Yeah, focus.
Oh yeah, I train. I'm very trained. I'm 60 years old and I don't look it or have a body of one.
Meaning,
so I pour my stuff into my athletic legacies, where I say, you know, but that's what I mean. I get such a rush, and I be so relieved
I
took my power back,
dude.
I'm a woman.
One day. Oh,
yes,
you
are. I had to clarify that for her. There you go. She works. Listen here.
I'm gonna tell you. You know what? If you see, you go on my Facebook page. You look at my pictures. Believe me, you would not confuse me as a four man.
Really?
I know it wasn't intentional. Listen, let me say this real quick.
What's your last name? What's your last name? So I can friend you. I'm a friend you. Later.
Okay, go to Francis Knighton. Francis is the first name, Francis. Michelle is my middle name, but just on Facebook, it's Francis, Francis, and then Knighton,
okay.
K as in kite, N as in Nancy, I-G-H-T-E-N.
Okay, I got it. Okay, I'll do it. All right.
So I have people baffled, and I'm a mystery to them. I mean, I had this voice ever since I was a little kid, a little girl.
Really?
Yes. I mean, I was, and so I used to be made fun of. The kids would say, well, you look like a girl, but you sound like a boy. But I embrace my voice. It's okay. Because now being who I am in the Lord, my voice is like thunder.
Shoot.
I can step into a room and the room will shut down and people will hear me.
Absolutely.
I don't need a microphone. I shut it down.
No, she doesn't. She does not.
That's what I'm on. It really does. Well,
see what she's doing, though.
But
you know, Jim, this is important, though. You see, I want to say something here. This is important because what Michelle is doing, instead of giving in to the pain, now I try to exercise. I do what I can. And I'm older than Michelle. Yes, I am. Okay.
Don't look it.
Well, I try not to. Let's put it that way.
You don't, Carol.
I think I do.
Hey,
okay.
I'm ripped too, guys. I'm gonna tell you straight up. You know, I was a pro ball player, so I'm ripped right now. But I don't
care. You better go ahead and brag on yourself. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm snatched. I ain't ashamed.
Wait,
I'm snatched.
Wait,
so
till
hey.
I'm gonna send you a picture of my pecs and my bicep, and you're gonna be like, hey, no way, this guy's 55.
Oh my God. Okay.
And I got a
six
up. I'm telling you, I'm big time. I mean, I got a body of a looking like I'd say probably a 30-year-old, but I'm 55. Yeah.
I got a body of a 22-year-old. Snatched.
There you go.
Uh-oh.
There
you go. They be like, damn, where'd that come from?
And I want to let you know that I took 8 years of Taekwondo. Mm-hmm. I even took it in college. You know, and I speak a little Korean.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I take major self-defense classes. I love it, you know. So I try to do anything I can that way because – there's a level of focus there, and I know, Michelle, you know about this, that you can't replace. If you are in that type of a world, your mindset is so focused on, yes, self-defense, but there's so much more behind it. You know, it's about the actual focus in life and the patience and picking up things and protecting people and protecting yourself. And knowing what to do
absolutely.
In situations. And it all comes into play, you know, with kids in the long run, you know. So your experience alone is so wonderful. You can teach kids that kind
of
stuff with their forms and
course.
Stuff. Oh, my God, Michelle.
Of course.
You know,
and I
get into that.
I do that.
Level with that.
Mm-hmm.
So once they start learning forms young.
My skills is unorthodox. So it's like, okay, when I was a little girl, I couldn't defend myself. I was being abused by my abusers. But today, I don't think so. I not only protect the big Michelle, but I protect the little Michelle that's inside. No, I got my power back. You cannot. You cannot come at me any kind of way. You cannot force yourself on me. You know, like I said, working out is my adrenaline for me. It gives me a peace. Just like when Carol said, well, I used to run when I was in high school, you know, or, you know, that's pick something. All of us that spoke, and I love that, pick something for the audience who's in the chat room or listening in. Pick something that for a brief moment you would take your mind off your pain and you would get so engulfed in what you're doing. That's when even you keep doing it every day consistently, that you will start releasing. I'm telling you, I'm a witness. We all are
absolutely
on this panel.
You know what it is, Michelle?
Go ahead.
You're taking your life back. You're not going to let them rule your life anymore. You know, this guy haunted me since I was 9 years old till I was, you know, 53. You know, and I had enough. I said, you know, I'm taking my life back now, you know, and I'm not going to let this situation.
I love that. You sound like me. That's right. That's right.
Take this from me anymore. You know, in fact.
Take your power back.
Yeah. And in fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use this now that it's been imposed on me to get laws changed, to help kids from now on,
and
to support people. I mean, it's going to be that forever, you know. So I'm going to continue the rest of my life doing this. And I'm happy to be with y'all. You know, just speaking tonight with y'all, I can tell y'all are for me, no question about it, you know. And I want to be that guy for y'all, too. I want to be that person that y'all can trust, number one. I know it's a huge word. But when you are a true survivor, you need people around you that has experience in what you went through so you can talk about it and find ways to find, you know, all kinds of therapy out there we need to talk about in the future that's coming up. And there's so much information out there, guys, that we can't even touch on it in one night. You know, so what I'm going to be doing later in the future is to discuss a lot of different ways of therapies, you know, that people going through so we can all find out what's right for each other, you know?
That's right. I like that.
Well, is this clock
like
right?
That.
It's 9:25.
I know that. I've got to
show
up in about 5 minutes.
Is it 9:25? Is it 9:25? Because I need to take 1 minute out of this 5 minutes. I need to say this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
For the listening ears who are in the chat room or out there in cyberspace, internet listening, we are a family here. We are family. We are sisters and brothers for NASCA. We love and help one another. On the website, there is so much information that is being put on our website if you go on there. And also, there's a list of names and numbers of people that are putting themselves out there to be available to help anyone who needs somebody to talk to. So on, you will see Michelle Bless. It has my email and it has my phone number, and you can call me anytime, day or night. That's what I'm here for. And there's two scriptures I want to put out there for people, which would be Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14. That's Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14, and Psalms 91. Understand that it doesn't matter how long this pain has you. Believe me, as witnesses here, my abuse began at 2, and the sexual abuse began at 6. That's a long time to hold a lot of pain in. So you don't have to hold your pain in by yourself, is what I'm saying.
That's right.
We don't expect
you
to know how, because let me tell you something. Before NASCA, before getting help, I didn't trust nobody. I wasn't going to let go of my pain. I wasn't going to tell you my story. Everybody, as far as I was concerned, was the enemy. Well, guess what? You can take your power back by trusting in us and by knowing that you're not alone. And that's what I want to leave with you. Understand that
absolutely.
I love you. If no one didn't tell you you were loved, know that you are loved by God, and you are definitely loved by me. That's it.
All right.
Thank you, Michelle. That was awesome.
Now, she comes on once a month. Okay, on Thursdays, the first Thursday of every month. And I'm always with her, okay? So, when she's here. So anyway, the point is we had an interesting show tonight. We went through a lot of different type of topics. Yes, we went through a lot of different type of topics. And incest was the first one because it's something that's not really looked at enough, okay? And that blows my mind because there's so many of us, that have gone through that. And it's not fun, okay? And it should be addressed more. So anyway, but then John came on, and he told us all about the things in Louisiana, and, of course, Pamela's involved with that too, and so forth and so on. So we have a very, very interesting show, okay? It was very good. And I have to shut us down now. So, everyone, God bless you, okay? And, jeez.
We got three minutes.
Yep. Okay, well, I'm going to be hosting tomorrow, and I want my throat to be better because I sang so much today. I made myself worse. But you know what? I feel better.
Good for you.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And I'd like to add something on top of Michelle's statement is that, she hit everything right on the head. But, the thing about it is I know that there are people out there tonight that want to speak, and they want to come out, and they're just looking for the right people to speak to. You have to hear, okay? There's no question about it. Because when you are dealing with authentic people that have lived through the same trauma that you've lived through, we understand. And you need to realize and understand. It's not like talking to a doctor. It's not like talking to your friend. We have lived through the same situation. And we want to help you most of all. I mean, that's what life is. You only have one life to live. And most of us don't have much time in life either. We are pushing in our 50s, 60s, and 70s now. We have to be there for each other. And when you said that you all are a family, I can tell. Mm-hmm. I can feel it. I know this, and they need to know this too. Is that, there's only so many people out there that you can talk to and to be honest and real. And that's what this is. It's absolutely real,
Okay.
So,
now I'm going to have to cut you short there, John, because I have to close the show down. But I want to thank you so much for coming on. And Michelle, I'm so happy that you came on also. And I want to thank from Mark also. We had a good show. I got 10 seconds. That's what it just said in my ear. So I have to start shutting things down. So anyway, listen, we'll be on again tomorrow night. We're here Monday through Friday, John. So when you want to come on, you pick the days, okay? And Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, that's for the ones that tell our stories. Tuesdays and Thursdays, that is for the professional survivors or survivor professionals, whichever way you want to say it.
Right.
And
Anyway,
good night. God bless. Watch your back and watch everybody's back, okay? Good night now.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody. Love you.
Good night.
All right. Good night.
Yeah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
driving me nuts. Fluffy, what I go through for you. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Is that William? Oh. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You feel like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. As long as love has arrived. Yeah.